Harry Warren was a second-hand bookseller in San Francisco in the 1970s, and Gary was a fearful man. No one was trying to kill Gary or anything. He wasn't in immediate danger, but like a lot of deep thinkers, he found the possibilities of life paralysing. He was 30 years old, tall and quietly spoken, wore his thinning brown hair in a ponytail and brightly coloured dungarees with rainbow jumpers. This was after punk had peaked in New York City. The Dolls had already split up. Some of Gary's fears were realistic. He had the normal worries of all small businessmen, owing rent, paying taxes, keeping employees insured, robbers and fires and so on. But Gary was also afraid of getting fat, of being thin, of losing his hair, of gaining hair, of dying young and living too long. He was afraid of falling in love and having his heart broken, or of hurting someone, of looking foolish and never trying, of failing, of being successful. He knew that his life was being shaped by existential angst, but that was no comfort. It was exhausting being Gary. It all came to a head in January 1977, when the worst storm of the winter hit San Francisco Harbour. 100-mile-an-hour winds came in straight from the Pacific. Everybody was warned to stay inside. The TV news showed cars being shoved across streets and walls collapsing. The Golden Gate Bridge was shut to traffic. Foghorns sounded out around the city in a low chorus of maudlin alarm. Gary invited some friends over to hunker down in his apartment, counting the hours until it was over. But something broke in Gary that night. His heart was racing, he was clammy. He felt such a profound sense of nausea that he knew he would die tonight, that his chest would cave in. He sat with his terror, smoking weed and burning joss sticks until the fear got so intense that it prompted a flight reaction. He got his friends into a car. There was something he wanted them to see, he said. And then he drove them down through the rain-washed city to the harbour, to Fort Point, where Madeline attempts suicide in vertigo. The Golden Gate Bridge was built around the historic fort, a 45-foot-high brick structure at the opening of San Francisco Bay. It's very dangerous down there, even in good weather. It's fenced off now since a number of passers-by were washed out to sea by freak waves. Before that, there was nothing but a safety chain made of heavy steel, strung between concrete bollards. Gary stopped the car and they sat and watched the ocean clawing at the fort, tearing halfway up the walls, yanking the heavy chain back and forth like a shoelace. Suddenly, without warning, Gary scrambled out of the car and slammed the door behind him. No one knew what was happening. He stood by the car watching with a cold smile as a massive wave slapped the fort in the face and swept it back out to sea. Then Gary bolted to the edge. He ran across the flooded car park to the chain and turned his back to the ocean, looking at his friends still sitting in the car, watching like startled day trippers. Smiling, Gary raised his hands out to the side and he bent down, wrapping his arms around the chain as a wall of black water rose 20 feet behind him. And then Gary stood up. If Gary was dragged out to sea, he would drown. His body wouldn't be found for days, but he stayed there. He heard the mournful growl of the foghorns and the groan of the wind. He heard the ocean shriek behind him and he held his breath. His heart thundered in his throat. The icy water hit him hard, washing him off his feet, lifting him inland on a collapsing wave that had come 100 miles for him. Then came the heavy backdraft.